find out more about you. We come here tonight, Lord, to praise you and worship you, to be in your presence, to receive a touch from the living God. I pray tonight, Father, that every word that I speak and every prayer that is prayed here tonight will glorify and honor your holy name. Thank you that we've got such an awesome place to gather with such awesome people. We just give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship team, I commend you. Thank you so much for bringing us such wonderful worship, leading us into the throne room of heaven in such a splendid way. And congregation, I just want to thank you for participating and writing some things on this board here that we can speak about. And I hope that you get a revelation of something that the Lord showed me. The Old Testament scriptures is a picture of Christ in the New Testament. Everywhere we look in the Old Testament, we see a picture of Christ. Boaz is a picture of Christ. In Ruth 2:15, it says this: when Ruth went back to work again, Boaz ordered his young men as follows. Let her gather grain right among the sheaves without stopping her, and pull out some heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up and don't give her a hard time. Boaz is a picture of Christ, picture of the way he loves us, the way he provides for us, the way he does things on purpose for us as his bride. In Isaiah 9 verse 1, Isaiah prophesies of the birth of Christ. This chapter is entitled Hope in the Messiah. Nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And in Isaiah 9 verse 6, just a few verses later, he says this: for a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. Deuteronomy 21:15 tells us this: suppose a man has two wives. He loves the one and not the other. And suppose the firstborn son is of the wife he doesn't love. When a man divides his inheritance, he may not give the large inheritance to the younger son, the son of the wife he loves, as if it were a firstborn. He must recognize the rights of the oldest son, the son of the wife he does not love, by giving him a double portion. He is the first son of his father's virility, and the rights of the firstborn belong to him. So there we see for the first time that the rights of the firstborn is a double portion. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, when they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken away? And Elisha replied, please let me inherit double share of your spirit and become your successor. And we know that Elisha became Elijah's successor. He received that mantle and he had a double portion anointing. The word tells us that. We also see in the word that he did twice as many miracles and signs and wonders as what Elijah did. He truly received a double share. Job, we all know the story of Job, how everything was removed from him in one day. And in chapter 42, in verse 10, it tells us this: when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. The first disciples that walked on the earth in the New Testament never had the New Testament. They used the Old Testament to show that the new had come. They used the Old Testament to show that Jesus Christ had come. Isaiah writes this, "Comfort, yes, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life." So this preciousness towards Israel was since the promise that was made to Jacob. But we have been grafted into that promise. Do you agree? So that promise is for us as well. We are precious to God. God says this, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. This scripture tells me what God is like. We sometimes sing a song that he's our good, good father. He blots out our sins for his sake. He does it because he loves us. He made a plan to pay for my sins, for all of our sins. He remembers them no more. The author of Hebrews writes this, "For I will be merciful to the unrighteousness, to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." The cross where Jesus Christ died made these things possible, where he shed his blood for you and I. And that for me is a picture of God's mercy, our Father's mercy. Later on in the same chapter, he adds this, he speaks about remission of sins. And remission of sins means we have set free from those sins. We have been placed into a position of liberty, a position of choice where we can choose, where we are free to choose if we want to follow sin or not. Jesus became shame for us. He became sin for us so we can have remission for our sins. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. That's from Isaiah 61, verse 7. I want to read the same verse again from the Old King James Version. "For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them." And this is what I want to get at with all these things that I did here today. And having you write sin and debts and sickness and illness on that piece of paper. What I actually went out looking for was information on double, because there's many times in Scripture that we get promised double. And when I came across this, this is what the Lord said to me, and this is what this is the revelation I got, and what I read out of one of the study Bibles. It was written in the time that Isaiah was in his ministry, okay? And that was around about, 750 to 700 BC, around about that period, 700 odd years before Christ was on this earth. And at that time in Israel, if people went bankrupt, okay, they could write all their debt on a skin. They could write all their debt, okay? So if they couldn't pay physically for their debt, they could write it all on their skin, and they would take that skin and they would hang it outside their front door, outside their gate, on their fence outside for everyone to see. What does that bring? It brings shame. Yeah? You sang about shame tonight. I think it was the second song. Yeah? Jesus Christ became shame for us, for every single one of us. Okay? But the nice thing about it is this, that anyone who came along could see your shame, could see our shame. Now, I'm not interested particularly in what anyone has written there. That doesn't matter. This is what makes it personal. It's between you and God. And in that time in Israel, if there was a wealthy person that went past and saw all these shameful things hanging on someone's front door or on their doorpost, they could come along and say, you know what? They could take that skin and fold it double. They would fold it in half. And they would write their name on there. And if anyone of those person's debtors, okay, that they needed to pay, needed to collect, they could go and collect from that wealthy person who had put their name on that. And that is what it means to receive the double. Amen? Is everyone out there sleeping, tired, awake? Yeah, no. That is what the Lord showed me as far as this goes. Amen? Does this mean anything to you? Amen? Do you want to respond to this? This touched me. This touched me very deeply when I saw this and I read it and I got that picture in my mind of my sin and my shortcomings and my indebtedness and my everything just being folded in half, being covered. It's covered by Jesus Christ. He's covered. And if anyone wants anything from there, they can go and get it from him. I do not have debt to pay anymore. If Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, He's done that for me. And He'll do it for every single other person in this place and outside of this place. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You that You are the one that has given us double. That You have taken our shame and replaced with joy. Amen. God loves us. We are His children. He wants to take care of us. He wants to bless us. Okay? What is the will of God? There are many wills. If you look in the Bible and you start reading about the will of God, there's many things. But let's go for something that I enjoy. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So for me, the will of God is that everybody should get to know Him. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That's God's will. God doesn't want any one of His children to perish. He doesn't want anybody going to hell. He wants everyone reconciled with Him in heaven when that time comes. That is the will of God. That's what my Bible tells me. Acts 18 verse 9 tells us this. Now the Lord spoke to Paul by night in a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Do we have believers here tonight? Everyone here believes that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Amen. Who must preach the gospel? Only the pastors? Only the people here at the pulpit? Every single person, every single one of us, if we are a believer in Jesus Christ, we also accept that responsibility to go and tell the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. Matthew 28, reading from verse 16. We know this, it's the Great Commission. The 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Who doubts sometimes? I sometimes do. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Some people believe it was only for those 11. It's not. He said, make disciples. A disciple is someone like him. They were making more and more people like Jesus. That is our example. Everyone must strive to be like Jesus. That is our example. Today I want to encourage you with those words that came from the Lord in Paul's vision, in his dream. Do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. I think there's one thing that keeps us from reaching others, and that is fear. I know, I felt it, okay? Fear. So, I don't want to go and speak to that person. Anyway, what will they say? Maybe they're going to say, oh, no, they're not interested. They might swear at you. They might curse you. They might, whatever it is. There's a fear there. There's a fear. And then a person ends up being silent. If Satan can keep the church of Jesus Christ silent, he's got a victory. We do not walk in defeat. We walk in victory because Jesus Christ has won the victory on the cross. He has taken the powers and principalities. He has made a public spectacle of them. They have no authority. He's got all authority, and it's with that authority that he sent every single one of us to go and preach the gospel. If the church keeps quiet, the power of the spoken word cannot manifest. How do we conquer fear? The word tells us perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. The only place I've found perfect love is in the scriptures, where God is speaking about his love for us, for you and I. And I think, but even though I'm a sinner, he loved me. How much more perfect love can there be? I've got this. You all got one of these things. Yeah? What is it? ID book. Yeah. How important is this document? Okay. You know, if you can have a whack load of money in the bank, yeah? And if you can't go, and you might lose your bank card, but if you don't have your ID to prove who you are, can you get that? They won't give it to you. You can't prove it, it's yours. Yeah? Perhaps you are the son of a wealthy father, and that father passes away and leaves you an inheritance. If you cannot prove who you are, can you claim your inheritance? Amen. So how important is it to know your identity in Christ? To know your identity in relation to God our Father? We have to know who we are. We are children of the living God. We are saints. Fellow believers were addressed by Paul and others who wrote in the First Testament books. Go and read it. Often in the first chapter, they were addressed as saints. If you look in Romans, it says, to all in Rome, beloved of God. You are beloved of God. Don't let anyone tell you any different. The Bible tells you, you are beloved of God. To all the saints in the Corinthian churches, to all called to be saints in the Corinthian churches, we are saints. To the saints in Christ who are in Philippi, Philippians, are we in Christ? Then we are saints. We are saints. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ in Colossae, there was the Colossians. Are we faithful in Christ? Amen. We are saints. Where is your identity? Where does God want you to be? Where does he want us to be? How important is it to be right with God? We have to have a relationship with God. That is key. That is first and foremost. We need to know God, our Father. We heard about it this morning. Have a relationship with him. I would go as far as to say, at all costs, at any cost, have a relationship with God. That comes first. I was thinking the other day of when my children were little, and I would come home from work or whatever, and they would see me, and they would come running, and they would just jump and hug me, and I can't do that anymore. They'll just flatten me. Okay? They're a bit bigger now, all right? And to me, that was just I want to go to God like that. When I get the opportunity to go to God, I just want to come running to Him and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for everything that you've done. I just want to hold Him and hug Him and just say, I love you, Lord. Thank you that you've shown me what perfect love is. Where's your sin? There's your sin. It's doubled under the name of Jesus. Leave it there. Don't go and fetch it out from underneath there. Leave it there. Live right with God. Leave your guilt, leave your shame, leave your condemnation, leave all the rubbish underneath the name of Jesus. Just leave it there. Don't go back to it. Seeing God's love for me keeps me in repentance. That's the only way we're going to be right with God, is to remember and constantly be reminded that He loves us. And if you know that your Father loves you, you're going to want to do what your Father wants you to do. You're going to want to be who your Father wants you to be. Grace. People often speak about grace. What is grace? Grace is the freedom to live free from sin. Free. Yeah, the shackles are gone. The bondage is broken. Do you know how much you've been forgiven? Some people think they can, they love the Lord much because they've been forgiven much. The Word tells us that if you break one sin, you've broken them all. So if you've been forgiven of one, you've been forgiven all. So we have all been forgiven much. My opinion. I think we need to, as a church, as a, not just this congregation, but as Christians worldwide, start walking as God wants us to walk. Walk in victory. Walk in victory over sin. He paid the price to set us free from it. He paid it. He paid that debt. It's been done. Don't go back there. We need to become a church that loves. Become the love of Christ. Become it. Let us become more than conquerors, like the Bible tells us. We aren't conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. Let's remain in that love relationship with God. There's many people that we speak to and they don't love themselves either. Okay? Because of sin and unbelief and things they've done in the past and regrets that they have, they forget to love themselves. Yeah? If God loves me, then surely I have to also love for myself. If I cannot love myself with Christ in me, how am I going to show love to the next person? Okay. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I now must now elevate myself or anything like that. But show love for yourself as well. Get plugged into God. There's been many sermons this year about getting connected to God, plugging into God. When you're plugged into God, instead of thinking your own thoughts and you're being on your own mission, you become in tune with God and what He wants, and you start doing what He's thinking about and what He wants you to do. Amen. Can I share some personal testimonies? Okay, this is going far too serious for my liking. So I believe that a person has to go and speak to other people about Jesus Christ, and as I'm going more and more in my Christian walk, I'm beginning to think it's more and more important, and I need to take more and more opportunities to do so. I want to encourage you to also do the same. Reach out to people, whoever you come into contact with. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Okay? I urge you to do this. So, how much time have I got? We went down to a shopping center. I was with my wife and a couple of people. And the waiter was... The Lord just laid it on my heart that this waiter's got a sore back. And he was serving us, and I said to him, he brought our food, and I said, how are you? And do you know who Jesus is? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, listen, I believe it. He just said you've got a sore back, and I'd like to pray for you. He said, yeah, no, actually, his back is sore. So I stood up, and he pushed me down. He said, no, you can't stand. You've got your food. You must sit down. So he just bent over like this. And next to me, and I just laid my hand. I said, Lord, just touch this man. And I pray that you just take the pain away from his back. I pray, Lord, that you will just heal him in Jesus' name. Thank you, amen. And he got up and he said, thank you for the prayers. And he went and we were eating. And man, about 5 minutes later, he came back and he said, you know, I just want to thank you because you prayed for me. A lot of people have prayed and I actually think God has touched me and healed me because the pain is gone out of my back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that just by saying a simple prayer, God touched somebody and healed their back. All glory to God, our Father. My wife had the opportunity recently as well to pray for a lady. And she was just standing and minding her own business. And we went and approached her and just said to her, do you know Jesus? And she said, yeah, no, she knows Jesus. And she loves him. And he's her Lord and Savior. And you can really say, okay, well, there's a relationship there already. And we just felt that she's got some pain. And we said, well, where are you sick? Where are you sore? And she said, no, her shoulders are sore. So we said to Lindsay, come, just lay hands on this lady and pray for her. And Lindsay laid hands on her and just prayed a simple prayer and said, look, Lord, just touch this lady and just heal her shoulders in Jesus' name. And when we said amen and she opened her eyes, she said, but wow, there was just heat. There was just a heat in her shoulders and the pain is gone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, I was on my motorcycle and I pulled into a garage. And I just stopped there and I said to the one guy, it only takes a few minutes to fill up petrol in a motorbike. It's only got a tiny little tank. And I just said to him, do you know Jesus? And he said, yes, I know Jesus. I said, well, can I pray with you about something, brother? And he said, yeah. He had a dream long ago to do something. And he just wants to ask for provision. But not just money. He doesn't just want God to give him money. He wants an opportunity to create a business so that he can employ people and just make South Africa a better place. I thought, man, Satan somehow stole his dream. So I prayed, Lord, just give him back. Just give him back what the enemy has taken and praise the Lord. And I just prayed for him for provision and that opportunity that God give him his heart's desire. And he said to me, do you know what he said to me? He said to me, today, I've seen an angel. I said, whoa, I'm not an angel. I'm just a Christian. I'm just someone that loves Jesus. He says, I know. But that's what it feels like. Pray for someone. You might make a massive difference in their life. I'm not standing here saying today that I'm special. I'm not. I'm saying I'm normal. So are you. Every single one of you. I've only got 10 or 12 more. I went into a mall. We went into the mall, yeah. One of these local malls. They won't let us have a Christian event there. They don't allow things like this. Okay, you won't let us go there, but I'm going to go there. And I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I went into a shop, and there was a youngster there that helped us. And I just said, I believe that there's something. The Lord's showing me division in your family. And he's like, yeah, my parents got divorced a few months ago. But he says, the problem is not that. The problem is between me and my brother. So I just prayed for him. Lord, just in Jesus' name, reconcile the brothers. Keep them together. The enemy comes to divide. You know? God wants us together. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconcile man with God and man with man. Last week, I stopped to fill up a car. Now this, when this happens, I want to cry. Okay, because it's so sad that in today's time and age, you can get to adulthood, young adulthood, and no one has ever told you about Jesus. We've all had Jesus. We know we've been raised in primary, from school and Sunday school. We've all had Jesus from a young age. And I asked this guy, do you know Jesus? And he's like, yeah, I've heard other people talking about him. I don't know anything about Jesus. I don't know anything about Jesus. I said, man, I've got good news for you. Just listen to this. And I took a minute to share the gospel while he was swiping my card for paying for petrol. And he received Jesus Christ. And that man's life will never be the same again. Because I took a few minutes out of my busy schedule to put down my phone and what I want in life and hear my Father and do his will in Jesus' name. Who wants to do more of these things? No one. Anyone? Amen. Amen. All I am today is an empty vessel. I'm saying, Lord, I'm an empty vessel. If you fill me, you can pour me out somewhere else. God can use any one of us. Amen. Amen. So, here's a challenge. Yeah, every message comes with a challenge. How many people are here tonight? 2, 4, 6, 8, 20 odd. Between now and next week, Sunday, is 6 days. Right? If between those 6 days, all of us reach out to someone, 20 odd people will get touched. Yes? Okay. So, what if all of us go out and reach one person every day for the next 6 days? Just take a few minutes. Just take a few minutes, okay, out of every single day to pray for one person in the next 6 days, and we would have touched around 120 people for the kingdom of God. Some might have come to salvation, repentance. Some may be Christians already, and you would have encouraged them. Some may have been backslidden, and they'll go back to Christ. That's not the challenge. I'm going to challenge you today to pray for 3 people every single day. Go and touch 3 people every single day between now and next week, Sunday. And I've asked Pastor Keith if he will give an opportunity for people to share testimonies, because there will be. There will be testimonies of healings, salvations, people coming to Christ, Christians being encouraged, and people's lives being changed. There will be, in Jesus' name. Who's going to take up that challenge? Amen. Amen. So I think in closing, I'd like to just pray, and then I'll ask the pastor as well to say a word and pray as well. And I thank you for your time. I thank you for your participation. I appreciate it. And I thank you for your willingness to step out and change the world around us for the betterment of kingdom of heaven. Father God, we thank you today in Jesus' name for this opportunity to share and to preach the gospel. Thank you for the picture of possessing the double. And I thank you, Lord, that every single one of us here possesses the double. I pray also, Lord, that they will go out and tell others who don't know of the goodness of our good, good Father. That they will go out and speak to people, Lord. And when fear wants to rise up inside them, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will just quench that fear. Remind every single person here about the love of our good, good Father, who loves us and wants us all with him in heaven. So I pray, Lord, that you will send these people in boldness and in courage and in strength out into their workplaces and wherever they go, to the shops, to the streets, to the bank queues, to their businesses, to their families, wherever they go, in Jesus' name, let them just go out there and touch people. So we thank you for all things today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died and rose for our sins. Amen.